So I just need to introduce a few people here. We all know Vince, of course, but our visitors won't this morning. So Vince got back just yesterday and flew in from Thailand midweek. So he's a bit woozy right now. And then this is Stu from Partners, and we just watched the video. And so what's happening is that Vince is teaming up with Stu with this heartbeat from Myanmar or Burma. Which one do you prefer out of those two? Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. So, and did you see the Harley Davidson out there this morning? That's Stu's. So you become a missionary, get a Harley. But there's a story. It's actually not his. It belongs to someone else, but he's using it. So I've got some questions. We're just going to do an interview. And as we do this interview, please be thinking of questions that you would like to ask. Okay? So I'm going to get you guys to share this, and it's on. So there. So if we sit, can you in the back see us, or would you prefer it that when someone is speaking that they stand? See, it's typical Baptist, they don't say anything. What would you prefer? Keep sitting or standing? Okay, thank you. Okay. Yeah, that's right. Now, so here's the first question. The first question is, where were you guys born? Vince, you go first.
Auckland.
Whereabouts?
New Zealand.
Yeah. You've been away a bit too long. Whereabouts in Auckland?
A hospital? I don't know. So maybe this, out west. I grew up out west.
So you're born out west. Okay. Yeah. And when was that? What year?
88.
Okay. So yeah. And are your folks here this morning?
My mother is.
Your mother is here.
Yeah. Dad is in Thailand, actually.
Oh, he's in Thailand. Yeah. So Lois is here. Nice to have you here, Lois. Any other family members here with you this morning? No, this is it. So it's great. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we'll get to that. So, Stu, tell us about your, where were you born and where, and be a little bit more, straightforward than Vince. Yeah.
I've just been raised in Tolaga Bay.
Tolaga Bay, Gizzy.
Wow. $2 Bay, we call it up the coast.
Yeah. Mm. And how long did you stay in Gizzy?
Well, I went away to boarding school, but I was basically until I was 17.
About 17. Okay. And, so, have you got family members here this morning?
I've got my beautiful daughter, Carrie. Would you like to just wave?
Yeah. Yep. Let's give her a welcome. Yeah, it's nice to have you here. Yeah.
Yeah, she's studying at Massey, and so I haven't seen her for a year.
Yeah.
And she grew up in Thailand.
That's right. And you're with Urban Vision in, is that right? Yes, that's one of the households. In Wellington or in Wellington? So you know our son, Juan? Not you. Then Nino? We could have this conversation later. Yeah, okay. yeah. Okay. Now, Vince, where have you lived since West Auckland? Name all the places.
Well, I was in West Auckland until I was 6, and I was adopted. Lived next to St. Luke's. Then St. Luke's shopping mall bought our house, and we moved out to where my parents currently live, up Redoubt Road in Manukau. And in the last 6 years, 7 years now, I guess, I've lived with, in various flat situations. I've lived with Will and Jenna Smith, Alex and Lisa Carter, Katie and Anna, Rose, and Thailand.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And how about for you, Stu? Where have you lived since Gisborne?
Lived in Wellington. Went to pharmacy school down there. Got saved. Spent some time back in Gisborne. Went to Bible College. Went to some training college in Tasmania. Yep. Did you go there?
Yep.
Yeah, I thought you did. And in the middle of all of that, you were actually one of my heroes.
Yeah, I understand.
Yes. And yeah. Anyway, we'll get on to that. I've met Ruby before, but she probably doesn't remember doing my vaccination before I went to Cambodia in 1996. Yeah. Remember the psalm? No. Then I've lived in Thailand the last 15 years, but we move in and out of the border. We can't live in, haven't been able to live in Myanmar up until now, but things are changing.
So guys, in your formative years growing up, who for you was one of your most formative, influential people, and in what ways? Why would you name that person? Like, you're both doing amazing things in your lives these days, but you know, it's because of people in the past. So who for you, Vince, would be one of, you could name a number, and we want to honour all of them, but if you had to name someone just for the sake of this morning, who would it be and why?
Well, my parents would be number one. I was not as lovely as I am today when I was 6 years old. Just as good looking, but I don't know. I guess for them, it's in more recent years, being an adult, that I've seen in the last 6 months, especially how much work and sacrifice was required for myself and my brother. Not that I appreciated it at the time, but I know what went into that. The constant of that. The way they lived life. Sometimes I didn't like it necessarily. But the way they lived life is definitely like an ingrained, influential part of how I want to live life and how I want to do life.
Yeah. Great. Yeah.
Thanks, Steve.
Mine would be Rob Kilpatrick.
So for our visitors, that's Vince's dad. Yeah.
In 2000, Rob sent us out from our home church, Upper Hutt Baptist, to go with Trans End. And we helped to establish the Thailand team there. And I've always been a little bit of a strange person. And Rob took a pretty big punt on us. And Lois actually probably has got a lot to do with it as well, but she sort of hides in the background. But Rob really has stuck with us over many years, and he's currently the acting CEO for Partners as well. So he's taken some huge risks with us over the years and allowed us to really step over the edge. Yeah, and pretty exciting. I love that guy so much. And my kids would probably say Rob was one of theirs as well. Amazing the level of influence that man has had.
Okay. So, of course, another one that has had a lot of influence in both of your lives is the God that you claim to believe in and love and serve. So my question goes like this. What is it about God that you most like? What is it about this God that you most like? How about you turn to the person next to you while they're thinking this one and tell the person next to you, what is it about this God that you most like? How about you turn to the person next to you? Go to it. Okay, friends, here we go. So we'll go back to Vince first. Vince, what is it about God that you really most like?
A number of things. But I would say in terms of the thing that I most like, that I kind of strive after, would be the nature of Jesus. And I guess it's something that is a constant aspiration. I guess that the way this guy did stuff, and the way that he loved, and the way that he served, and the way that he was present. I just love that, you know, this guy who was so busy and had other people telling him you're too busy, was like, no, I'm not. And so I just love that that he always had that availability, and when he was available,
I love that he is the lion and the lamb. And I love that the lion would lay down his life. And I've had a real revival in my life in the last 6 months. It's been centered very much around that. Yeah, this tour that we're doing, we're calling it the Jesus is Awesome Tour. And my kids said, Dad, that's so cheesy. But it's actually really how I feel at the moment. It's just incredible that this awesome God that you described this morning, who is so amazing and large and powerful, it just can't lay down his life like a baby. That's right.
That's incredible. That's so nice.
Here's a question. So Vince in Thailand, mate.
Just getting a Fiji here.
But in Thailand, your most embarrassing incident. Because, you know, Ruby and I've lived up in cultures that are vastly different places. So what's been your most embarrassing moment up there?
I'll tell it. I told my mum this morning, actually, this one. It was two with the same, it was with one of the teachers from school. And so Thai is a tonal language. And, so when you say a word, like the same word to us, this was several months in, so I knew it was tonal, obviously, but it just doesn't register. But the same word said in all the different tones is something completely different. One of the teacher's names, and I'm hopefully not saying it wrong anymore because I'm still calling her, but her name is, well, Crew is teacher, so I'd call her, Crew Mui. But at first, it was just Crew Mui. And, that, for about 2 months, actually, that word means pubic hair.
Yeah.
So I was saying, good morning, teacher pubic hair. Or, have you seen teacher pubic hair when I'm looking for her? And I found that out from the Cornelius kids at home. And because in Thai culture, it's not good to lose face. So it would have been just as bad to go and apologize for calling her it. So I just had to adjust. I practiced rigorously until I was game to say it again. But yes, so that was not embarrassing in front of her, but when I figured it out, I was like, oh,
yeah. I mean, when we're in Manila, and I was learning the language, and we'd have these little Bible studies, and I'd say at the end, let's pray. So all these guys would all close our eyes, and I thought I was asking the Lord to give them wisdom. And every time I prayed, they always crossed their legs. And apparently I was asking for the Lord to give them circumcision.
Anyway, moving on.
Stu, you're most embarrassing, you know.
Well, I've done the same one as him, actually, but I did it in front of 50 people. That was quite embarrassing. But another one, I was on public radio, and the announcer asked me, what was it like to be living as a foreigner in Thailand? And I went to say, I feel like an alien. That's what it calls me on the immigration form. I'm an alien. That's how I feel. But I didn't say alien because I used the wrong tone. The difference between thou and thou is all it is. And I said, I'm a man with different breasts. And ever since that time, my colleagues and students used to call me Ajahn Antalai, Mr. Dangerous.
again.
Here's the next one. Now, see, all of us here, we have day jobs. I have a day job. You guys have day jobs. I'd be fascinated to know what a normal day looks like for you up there. But just a normal day. We all have normal days. But before we get these guys to do what they do, how about you turn to the person around you and tell them, well, what's your day job? What's your normal day look like? Just do it very briefly. Go to it. Okay, guys, here we go. So, normal day jobs. We all have one. So Vincenzo, tell us what your normal day, you know, generally has looked like up there.
So I was working with the Corneliuses, who are a Kiwi couple, they've been in Thailand 9 years. Over the last 7, they've adopted 9 Thai Hill Tribe kids. Who are now aged between 7 and 15. So I went, to focus on 2 of the boys in particular, who they're on like antipsychotic medication and stuff like that. Had crazy, beginnings to life. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for me was at school with them. So, 7 o'clock was leaving home. And then I did school with them basically. I was, kind of teacher aidy, with them in class. There's no words for the kind of ADHD that they have. But it was, you know, with these two, they're in a classroom of almost 40. It's a low decile school. 90% of the school are from homes. So it's a lot of craziness all in together. So yeah, it was, I spent the day kind of like that. As time went by, I started teaching as well at the school, both alongside the English teacher. And I was by myself, for the secondary, which was difficult. I had to learn how to learn English, if you like, you know. I don't know these rules. I just know when to use a or an. And explaining things to your blue for 20 minutes blank, and then the Thai teacher will wander in the room and jibber 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 30 seconds, and then, you know, it's cross language and all this sort of stuff. It was death. So it was tough. They were long days. It was tough. Getting home after school was doing homework and stuff with the kids. And then, you know, dinner and post dinner, stuff. And then in the off days, weekends we're with the kids as well, doing pretty much whatever they did, give or take. And kind of about 2 months in, I started doing a day a week with partners, which to start with, I went out to the farm that they have, like it's all sustainable, to do, live sustainably, that sort of thing. They do like experimental stuff out there and then go into communities and villages and that sort of thing and teach them how to do that. So that was really interesting as well, and a good break from the kids. But yeah, overall, that was... Yeah, and then once I got involved, well, once Burma started lapping at the shores, I started getting involved with Stu, and so I've been loosely more involved with the stuff that I will be doing from now going forward over the past couple of months.
If you were to compare every year of the last 7 years since I joined Partners, every year would be quite different. But this last year, the opportunity to open a service company in Rangoon came up, and so we've changed the structure of our organisation, and I'm now the head of our business development department. Because you can't start an NGO in Burma. We'll explain more of that tonight. And so our thing is, well, how do we, you know, missionaries who really don't know that much about business, learn business quick enough in order to keep an office open? And so I've been researching all sorts of ways that we can get more deeply involved in Burma, Myanmar. And I spend a lot of time with nationals, training nationals, working with teams that are actually invisible to us. They're in these areas in Myanmar that we can't even get to. It's large parts of this country that foreigners can't even travel to. And so we work with all these sort of secret teams, and they go and do various stuff. And I'm the head of some of that stuff. And I spend a lot of time, way too much time on computer. We have to write reports, we have to write proposals to get money, all those kinds of things. Now my new passion is getting this guy out, because he's going to be the first person on the ground ever for Partners actually live in Myanmar. We've always done cross-border work, which means kind of semi-legal, tricky stuff. But he's actually going to go live there in the middle of it all. Yeah, so more of that tonight, I suppose. Not scary at all. Don't worry, I'll be there with him for a day or two.
So if we think about the most challenging thing for the future going forwards, like you said, what would that be for you?
There are familiarities, I guess, about the, when I first talked to, when I was first thinking about Burma a couple of months ago, and I talked to Stu, I knew that this role was available, and it was like, I hadn't imagined being able to be involved with something in this capacity, within what we will be doing, as a missionary. And it blew my mind, to take some of what I've done through my career, into that. But in terms of what is awesome. So that side of things, I'm not too worried about. But it's a new environment. I'm going to be learning a language. It's a country that, obviously have learned a lot more about it over the past few months, but a lot of people don't know, the world doesn't know much about it. I'm more comfortable being in different environments now. I'm not as kind of, either going to Thailand, things not the same as that. But it's still, there's a lot of work ahead, which I'm really amped, don't get me wrong. The difficulties that we will face every day, probably, of doing God's work in that place. Yeah. It's hard to say if it's a concern, but I guess it's the barrier that, I don't know. It's hard to explain. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah. Okay. I won't talk about myself, but I will talk about what Prince has got coming up, he's got an incredibly steep learning curve. If any of you have ever learned a language, that's a headache in itself. But this is a whole pioneering situation for us, and so he's going to have to be very adaptable, changing regularly. I think he is going to be very tired. I remember in language study actually falling asleep while the teacher was, you know, it was just me and my wife and the teacher, you know, and I'll get put down on the table. It's very embarrassing. The other thing, probably the more immediate thing, is this, his support raising. Support raising is not easy. It took us 3 years when we first started with TransEn. The more of you that can just jump in with a little bit, the quicker he'll get to his target, the quicker we'll get him out there. The in-between time between knowing you're going and when you get enough support to go is always stressful. And so I'd encourage you as a community to, if you don't want to use one of these for yourselves, would you go take it to somebody else that you know who might be interested and say, listen, here's this awesome guy, who's single, by the way. Sorry, I had to throw that in. He's this awesome guy who needs support, and maybe you could, you know, think about getting in behind him.
So shall we just have a pick? Could you pick those up now, guys? They should be in and around where you are. How many people here have got a pen? I wonder, Carol, is Carol here? Could you go and get a whole bunch of pens very quickly, Carol, if you don't mind? Yeah, just very quickly. Just so we have some pens. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to ask the band to come up now and just quietly play I Surrender All. So if the band could be doing that. Everything is, you know, you got it in one. Yeah. And as they're playing I Surrender All, be thinking about what part of that all will actually be featured on that page. Because we'd like as many of people to fill it out today. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to ask that we all be still and quiet. I'm just going to be still and quiet as they don't play their musical instruments yet. No thanks. Shh, mate. We're just going to be quiet? Yeah, thanks. Okay, let's just pray. So God, we come with open hands and open hearts. We come really with those that heartbeat of yes, we are a people who surrender all. And part of that surrender is the surrendering of finance for the things that you love. And Lord, you love the world. You call us to love what you love. And so may it be, Lord, that in some mysterious way, even now, as we just quietly reflect on what dollar amount to put in to this point, may in some mysterious way your Holy Spirit just drop it. A figure of what we can promise to give once a month for the next 12 months. And may it, Lord, be a figure that hurts because you gave it to the Lord. May we be a people that give. So we come under your leadership now. We come under your leadership. Your wonderful name. Thank you for giving us this privilege, this entry point into your global revolution. Thank you.